To mute or unmute yourself, press star 9 to raise your hand.
All right, I'm going to wait for the Facebook Live image. Good morning, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, as we focus on Think and Grow Rich. My name is Galen Bingham. I am the leadership strategist, and I am just so excited to be a part of the show as we have an incredible conversation about the power of the mastermind, which is Chapter 9, but this is the driving force. And not only are we going to have a great conversation with our normal co-host, we have an amazing guest with us, Dr. Mariama Williams, who is, I've had a couple of conversations with her. She is just really amazing. She's a Vedic with the Chopra Center for Well-Being. She is just really, really deep into masterminding, and she's been a part of this process, and she's going to share so much with us, not only just from this book and from this chapter, but just how this thing, this masterminding thing, really works. And I'm just really excited to have her part of this conversation. So if you have anything around you that might be distracting you from this conversation, you've got about 90 seconds to get that taken care of, because you are going to want to be dialed into this conversation. And this is a conversation. We've got so many different ways that you can join us and be part of this. We'd love for you to chat wherever you're seeing this live stream. Please chat. We'll be able to see that and bring you into the conversation. If you're listening to us, there's some instructions there for you to dial in and ask your questions live. But this is a conversation, and I'm just so excited to have you here. I want to bring in my co-host, because my conversation with my co-host is one of the high points of this event every week for me. First, I want to bring in Ms. Ursula Odom. Ms. Ursula Odom is the founder and owner of Suva 2 Publishing, where she makes old, new, and everything that she does. Ursula, welcome to the conversation. What's going on with you?
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I love hearing the fact that people remember that I am the CEO of Suva 2, and we make old, new, and everything that we do. In that, all that hard work that you all do and making things happen in life, we capture it, transform it into books and videos and legacy walls, and so that the rest of the world can enjoy this wisdom that maybe you're too shy to talk about, but we'll talk about it for you. That's what we do.
Well, fantastic. And I know you're not shy about this conversation. It's going to be a great one about masterminding.
Oh, don't you know? I'm so ready for hearing about this and engaging in this conversation, because there are so many things in life that we just can't explain. And we don't even talk about it sometimes, but here on this show, we talk about it.
That's right.
Day to day.
That's right. Well, another person that is not very shy at all is Dr. Peter James. So, Dr. Peter, welcome to the conversation. Share a little bit about why you're so excited about this conversation in particular.
Galen, I am shy. What are you talking about? Good morning to you. Good morning to everyone. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am the high performance coach, so I'm helping you to shift your mindset. So excited to be here today, diving into this mastermind chapter of Think and Grow Rich. Have phenomenal co-hosts, a phenomenal guest. Can't wait to dive into that. Galen, it's just going to be a phenomenal time.
Well, terrific. You know, you and I talk quite often. I know masterminding is a big part of the work that you do. Ms. Ann McNeil, you are the reason that many of us, and most of us, and I think all of us are here. And masterminding is a big part of what you do. It's at the cornerstone of the books that you've written. Your passion has been able to convince many of us to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning at least two or three times a week Share with us why this chapter, why this topic is such an important part of your life and your thoughts about this conversation.
Well, Gayla, we say this every single week. We all say the same thing every single week. But I'm here to tell you that this week is different. And it's different, Galen, and all of our guests. And one of the reasons it's different for me today is because I get to mastermind on the show with one of my mastermind buddies from our Palm Beach Life Planners mastermind group, Dr. Mariama Williams. We call her Mariama. And later during the program, I'll share how we met. But as a master builder, I help individuals start and run profitable mastermind groups for creating greater quality in every single area of their life and the business. And so I'm always excited to talk about the subject, and I want to give a shout out to one of our masterminders, Ms. Robin Donaldson. Welcome back, Robin. Glad to have you here. Robin, for many years, was one of our co-hosts for this program, and so we're glad to see she's doing well and she's back. But this is going to be an amazing show as we delve into one of the areas of masterminding, as has already been alluded to, that we normally don't talk about, and that's the psychic and the economic power of this subject. So I'm very excited, very excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a show where we're going to get to go deeper than we normally get to go, at least we normally get to go when I'm a part of it. So I'm really encouraged about this. Before we get too far into the show, and even before we introduce the guests, there's one co-host that we want to give a nod to because Ms. Pekin is not with us today. She's taking care of some family matters, and family is probably more important than we think about when things are going well. So we want to send our thoughts, we want to send our prayers, and we want to ask you to do the same for Pagin, who is the speaker that only requires one name, and she's usually with us, and she's with us in spirit, and we want to be with her in spirit as well. So with that, I want to introduce Dr. Mariama Williams. She is she's really, really into the psychic and the spiritual end of how you manifest those things in your life. She's a certified Vedic with the Chopra Center for Well-Being, and she has actually studied with Dr. Chopra and David Simmons. She's done so many different things in this space. Just in my conversation with her, I was already starting to think of personal conversations I want to have about my own personal practice. One of the things that we talk about on the show, the name of our group is the International Masterminders Association. Well, she's actually joining us from Geneva, Switzerland. So this is actually an international show today. And so with that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Mariama. Please join the conversation and share just a little bit more about yourself to our audience. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the organizers, and I've been following Blog Talk, not every time, but for many years now. I lived in West Palm Beach, Florida when I met Anne. I'll leave the story for how we met to her. But now I live in Geneva, Switzerland. I've been here about 9 years. I earn my proper living, as an economist. And I do work on international trade and climate issues, gender equality and women's empowerment for the last, however many years. But I've always been involved in spiritual dimension, always been involved in understanding human potential. I would say if anybody asks me what's my passion is human potentiality, how it is that we can master the arsenal of techniques, skills, talent that we are here with in this earth, no matter if you're rich, poor, black, or white, and that potentiality can either be expanded when you reveal and manifest your desire and your destiny, or it can be suppressed. But even on the suppression, we see people who have extreme problems, living in conflict,
extreme poverty, rise above it, whereas others do not. And that's where human potentiality movement is really the fundamental. That's what I've always been studying, as well as my economics, is taking many different courses trying to understand how to improve and how to move forward to expand, to manifest desires, and to keep healthy, obviously. And more than ever in this time of COVID, we know that the fundamental thing is to maintain that base of your health to be able to traverse this virus.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is so important. As I said earlier, health is one of those things that we tend not to think about until there's a problem, until we need it, until we don't have it at the same level that we expect. So this conversation is really important. Really want to dive in. Masterminding is one of those areas that people think they understand. And that's why we really would love to have some experts on the line to talk about that. Before we jump into the conversation more deeply, this is part of an entire system, right? Just to talk about masterminding alone would be worthwhile, but it's part of an entire system. So, Dr. Peter, would love for you to share just kind of an overview of the entire system, the entire success formula by Napoleon Hill, and so we can see how masterminding fits into that. So, Dr. Peter?
Yeah, thank you so much, Galen. I love the fact that you said this is a system. It's even just more than a book. This is more than a conversation about a book that we're having. We're really looking to change lives, as a matter of fact, and through this dialogue, but also through this book and what we've extracted from the book and applied to our lives that I'm getting ready to give you a sneak peek into. And if you've never read this book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, we'll definitely include a link in the chat and on our social media accounts to ensure that you can pick it up very quickly and dive right in right away. But the backbone of this entire conversation, the backbone of this system, as Galen has so mentioned, is these 13 steps that Napoleon Hill has been able to identify for us to really guide us in our life, even from a business perspective, from a career perspective, a life perspective overall. And I'll read really briefly these 13 steps to give you a sneak peek into what they are. The first one, of course, is desire. And desire is the starting point of all achievement. The second one is faith. You got to have that faith, that visualization and that belief, even when you don't see it. The third one is auto-suggestion. I love auto-suggestion. This is the medium for influencing your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind has such power over your life. It's important that we understand and you understand what you can utilize and how you can manipulate the subconscious mind. Then there's number four, specialized knowledge, which is the personal experiences or the observations that you have experienced in your life as well, your education for that matter. Imagination, which is the workshop of the mind. You have to be able to dream it in order to believe it also. Then there's organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. Yes, you have to be somewhat organized in an effort to accomplish your dreams and your visions. Then there's decision, number seven, which is the mastery of procrastination. Oftentimes in our lives, it's easy for us to procrastinate where there's so many things that are surrounding us, but it's important to be able to make that decision and turn that decision into action. Then you must have number eight, persistence, which is the sustained effort necessary to induce the faith that you've had as well. You got to be persistent in this. Today, we are going into number nine, the power of the mastermind, which is the driving force behind this entire text. You can't do it by yourself. Two heads are better than one. Five heads are even better than two. Number 10 is the mystery of sex transmutation. And so you heard the word sex and you're like, why is sex even involved in it? It's interesting. You got to dive into the book because there's even a sexual energy that is necessary in order to be successful that we'll talk about. Then there's the subconscious mind, number 11, which is the connecting link to this all. Again, we dive more into that. Number 12 is the brain, which is the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. Obviously, it's important to pay attention to your brain and what you're feeding your brain. And last but not least, the sixth sense,
which is the door to the temple of wisdom. So if you notice, we're talking a lot about a lot of topics that are not top of mind, but we're talking about subconscious, we're talking about sixth sense, we're talking about some of the psychological and psychic aspects of your existence. And I'm sure we're going to dive a little bit more into that today, Galen, but that's the backbone of this entire discussion. All right, back to you.
Yeah, really important. Thank you so much for that. It's really important that we see this as part of an entire process. So I'm just so glad that we can now see where this fits. But as we talked before the show, before going live, we talked about how masterminding really is the power behind bringing this thing to life. It brings into it accountability. It brings into it creativity. It brings into all of the elements of the process that Dr. Peter just shared. One of the things, Dr. Mariama, that you raised is how there are two benefits. There are two elements to masterminding that come into play. One is the economic benefit, but then there's also a psychic benefit where you have two people, two or more people coming together. But where there are two people, a third brain, when two brains come together, a third brain is in the midst where this extra energy, this extra creativity comes into place. Could you share more about that? Because that's right in the crosshairs of what you've studied for so many years.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And as you all know, every time you read this book, you come up with new insight and understanding, and you're like, I never saw that before. Was that really there? And so in preparing for this, I started reading again in this particular chapter, and I never realized that Nathaniel had spoken so much about psychic energy and about energy. And he says on page 183 that the human mind is a form of energy, a part of it being spiritual in nature. And so he talks about the affinity of the mind getting together. And so that psychic energy is very critical, because the psychic energy is what really comes out of the mastermind. Apart from the substantive of sharing ideas, it is the power of the like attract like. It's the power of that harmony among people who have mutual considerations, mutual interests. They might have divergent paths and divergent, but we all pretty much have similar goals. Your goal might be a million, mine might be 200,000, the other person might be 10,000, but we all ultimately want prosperity. We want abundance in health, abundance in good friends, family, abundance in all around us. So those are the commonality, the specificity of what we want and how we get about it might be different. But that coming together of these like-minded persons sharing this energy, and each of us have this very great psychic energy, and he spends a lot of time talking about that. And when he talks about the other 13th step, it's all really relevant to this question of the energy, using the imagination of the mind, using your intuition. Those are all different energies that we have, right? So intuition is a power. So some people say that's a genius power that we have. Intuition, the imagination, creative imagination, also another genius power. Many of us don't utilize them. We've been taught to suppress our intuition, to suppress our creativity. But if we can tap into those energies, and then we are powerfully sharing and directing those energies among like-minded people, that is quantum energy, right? That is more powerful than any weapons that we can think about. We know that. The human mind, imagining the idea and then creating it, is what has led us here, where everything that goes bad, including all the various things, the computer, the Mac that I'm talking about, the fact that we're able to digitally communicate in these different geographic and spatial dimensions, these are manifestations of the human mind. These are corralling those psychic energy and being able to concentrate the mind. Now, if your mind is disturbed and the mind, the breath is restored, because your mind and your breath work together, right? So if you are not able to settle your mind and settle the body, that's why health is important. You must have good health in order for your mind to be at rest, and you also must be breathing well to have both working in tandem, performing. Nathaniel Hill is something that I think we don't pay enough attention to. And how do you court that energy? How do you cultivate that energy? How do you, are you able to sit to make the mind be translucent, to make the mind be still, to be able to really get clear on what your desire is, and to be definitive about your desire. Because if your desire is scattered, there's no way you can achieve those desires. So I think this subtle energy is very, very powerful.
Fantastic. Well, I'm gonna bring Ursula in for a question, but before I do, I got to sneak my question in because it's not every day I get to talk to a Vedic. So what are some of the tools that you use? Because you've talked a lot about the mind and the connection to the body, but how you pull on intuition and creativity, but the importance of the mind being clear. And I'm starting to incorporate a lot more meditation in the work that I do as an executive coach. What are some of the tools that you use in your practice to help people quiet their mind and really kind of concentrate their creativity?
I'm also a yoga therapist. As I was sharing before, I just finished my degree, Master's of Science in Yoga Therapy at the Maryland University of Integrative Health. And so we come from a framework that sees the human being as multidimensional. So you have this physical body, but you also have a mental body, an emotional body, a psychic body, a wisdom body, and you have these different parts of these bodies when they're not in sync. And there's a problem. Most often we are used to the physical body, which is called the body of food, where the cell is fed by food. And then the mano body, that's the mental body, mental energy, breathing energy. There's also your breath. We take breath casually because we do it so effortlessly. But breath is actually a very complex process. And I think one of the things that I keep referring back to COVID, because it's a reality right now, is bringing up, is the importance of that breath and the importance of the functioning of the lungs. And that disease actually is very smart. It goes right to the heart of where we are, that lungs, right? So we talk about the pranic body, that we have the energy flows up and down and around. And if your energy is blocked anywhere, it manifests in different sites, different kinds of disease and different processes. So one of the things, if you have very racing mind, you want to sit. Some people who are different body types may not be able to sit for very long, so you need to move that energy, and that's where the posture is coming. You move that energy, you move out some of the excess energy, but you need to then breathe, right? And you need to find out where you're breathing from, because we all think we all breathe the same way, but we all have different. We have people who are chest breathers, people who are belly breathers, people who breathe up here using the musculoskeletal, the musculature of the neck to breathe. And so you want to check, and if you would take for a minute and just find, where am I breathing from and how is my breath? Is it fast? Is it slow? Because your breath and your mind are in sync. Okay, if you're breathing erratic, the mind will be erratic. If you slow down your breathing, the mind slows down. So you need to, I have people check in, where are you breathing from? Are you breathing from your belly, from the center? Are you breathing from the chest? Where are you breathing from? Is your breathing slow? Is it fast? Do you notice a change during different points of the day? So you do that. And also, we have breathing exercise that we do to help you not only throw off toxins, but also slow the breath down, slow the body down. And then there are many different techniques that we use. Of course, meditation is spoken about. Yoga postures also are a way of integrating mind and body, and breathing. And a whole arsenal of different ways of moving the energy using your hand. People use their hand a lot, and we do things, but we don't even know why we're doing them. But if you go back into the literature, you'll find that people are using. Why do you put the ring, the wedding ring, on the finger that directly goes to the heart line, right? Why do we, when we're scared, or when we do like this? There are mudras. There are these different ways you can move energy in the body.
No, that was good. One of the things that just occurred to me when you talk about, the physical body, the psychic body, the different kinds of bodies, that, getting all of that into alignment is almost a way of masterminding with yourself, masterminding with all the different elements of your body. So thank you for that. Ursula, what are your thoughts?
Well, I hate to say this all over the place. No, I'll calm down. And say that there are two things that I'd like to introduce into the conversation, because I think we have the right person to talk about them. One has to do with firewalking. So I went to an event, and I think we mostly know who it is, and I didn't believe in it, quite frankly. And I sat there and was waiting for the hoax to happen. And we were there, and we were all day, and then finally it was time to actually go out there and walk on those hot coals. And to make a long story short, I did it. And at that moment, I went, oh, my God, my grandmother's favorite story is real. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego actually happened. And so what it brings up is the thought that there are so many things that we are capable of doing physically and emotionally that we have suppressed. And someone asked me if I would do that again. I said, no, because I don't know how it worked the first time. But I now know it really does work. So that's one, that whole process. And then the second thing, in being in genealogy, I have come to believe, and this is my personal belief, that the thing that people call animal magnetism, translate that into DNA, I'm thinking that we physically can detect when our ancestors are close to us. Our body may know, but our head has suppressed it. Because why else will people end up marrying their own sisters and their own cousins and things like that? We connect on a physical level, but without the knowledge of what's going on. So I know those are two vastly different things, but either one you want to attack or both.
Okay, so I will try to see if I can talk to them without going into lengthy details and then bringing them back to manifesting and creating wealth. So you're talking about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is the process of, you know, at the end of your process, you go on the beach or somewhere and you walk across coals. And the same thing about what's going on with the energy of our DNA and the generational issues. Right now, one of the things that's really big that we're doing a lot of work on is intergenerational trauma, right? Mm-hmm. That as Black people, our body has held everything that came with us from that slave ship all the way through, which is why we can walk into a building and without consciously being aware of it, our body's already scanning for danger. Our body's already setting us to know what's going on. And if we're not even mentally aware of it, and this intergenerational trauma is part of what is a very lovely man who's doing some work on that in the U.S., that their science is now proven that our DNA carries this stuff. So the body, this body, is not just a physical thing running around like a machine. It's highly intelligent, highly intuitive. So you can walk into a room and you could sense something is going on. You may not, your mind doesn't know what it is, but your body already scanned that room and knows where there's danger, where there's various kinds of things. And that's when we get those things we call impressions and things that we suppress. So our body knows it. So that, I don't know if you call it animal magnetism, but the thing is that the body and neuroscience is now finding out the body knows a lot, right? There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. Okay? And it keeps the score of any trauma you've been through. Right, and so there's a lot of interesting work on that, and we can talk later on. I don't want to go too far into it, but what it means is that if we can tap in, sometimes what's holding us back from wealth and wealth consciousness are those intergenerational trauma that we're not aware of that says danger, 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 and it blocks you because it's trying to protect you. The body is always our mental facility. Right back here, we have the old brain. It's the oldest part of us, and it has one job. That's not going to talk about one point of intention. It has one job, and that one job is your survival, right? It does not care if you have purpose. It does not care if you have meaning. It doesn't care any about all that thing. Are you happy or not? It doesn't. Its job is to keep you alive, and it will do whatever it needs to do to keep you alive. If it learns from the past experience that going that way means bad, it will send a lot of stuff. The new brain part of our brain is the one that... oh, I'm not happy, oh, I need meaning, and all of those kinds of things. And so we don't understand ourselves. And once we start understanding ourselves, and you get to that understanding through meditation, through journaling, through this mind, through masterminding, if you really have a good masterminder, we're actually talking about all dimensions of your life, You start seeing, reflecting things that are popping up that you start saying, well, where is that coming from? Why is that holding me back? That happens so and so. You start tracking those on an explicit and conscious level. And that's one of the things, the number nine, and I was looking at this chapter, not the nine, the ninth. The number nine is consciousness. The number nine is significant in human history. It takes 9 months from us, from conception to birth, right? Even the Bible, if you go back and you look at the Bible, the amount of time nine shows up, all right? So the number nine is very important. It's about consciousness, and that consciousness is what Nathaniel is always talking about. Our consciousness is what creates wealth or can lead us into poverty to keep us into poverty. And we need to, regardless of the external circumstances, and they are enormous, especially for people of color, but nonetheless, we have got to marshal that and begin to be aware that, yes, we have intergenerational trauma. We need to find ways to deal with that, psychotherapy, psychocounseling, you know, deal with that. You know, it's not just simply, you know, I won't go there, let's not go there. But we need to find ways to deal with those. And then we need to look at ourselves and begin to dialogue and share and talk with each other.
I just have one more thing in light of what you just said, that in terms of dealing with it, I know of at least several situations where adults have said things to children at very young ages that actually almost feel like it became a part of that person's physical self. Their whole life was governed by just one sentence. Mm-hmm. And one person talked about money, and another person, in my case, my grandmother told me I was blessed. And I don't care what anybody tells me, I'm blessed. So if it's bad times, I'll get through it. If it's good times, I'm blessed. So it becomes a part of the person, and I think it's connected to what the thing that you were saying. That, you know.
Yeah, and we have to start thinking, you know, what is my attitude and my beliefs about money, about wealth? Because on the top of it, you might say, I want $1 million, but you'll do everything not to get $1 million because there are things that you have taken on, either from your family or friends, that says money is bad or money is evil or whatever. So we have to unearth that. And so people will say, oh, I've read Nathaniel's book. I've done all that stuff. I never got rich. And I'm like, okay, did you really, really think about what are your beliefs? Did you list your beliefs about wealth and money? Try to see what's going on there. And there are lots of different techniques that I've been to where you unearth. And, oh, my God, this happened, like, back to my grandmother or my great-grandmother. So these things we carry with us in our body, in our psyche, and they hold us back or they propel us forward. If you were told all the time that you were going to be rich, you're going to be lovely, and then that is what drives you. If you were told in any way that you weren't good enough or whatever, you carry that with you, and it's always a struggle. And you can survive. You can even get to a certain level of wealth, and then you either lose it or you're stuck, right? Because all you knew got you there, but it's holding you back. So unless you create new knowledge and new sense of self, you won't be able to move back, or you lose them when you end up back and you keep starting over and over again. Yeah.
Okay, so Peter, I guess it's your turn since I have monopolized the whole thing so far.
Yeah, Ursula, you had some good questions there. Truly appreciate it. Galen, I know we also have some questions in the chat. Do you want to address those now, or do you want to?
Yeah, if you can kind of bring those in, let's see, there's a couple, I'm going to miss some of these, but there's a couple of really incredible questions. Catherine Woodhouse, how does poverty affect the body and spirit?
So Dr. Williams, can you maybe address that? What do you, as you look at poverty, especially from the economical perspective, how does poverty affect the body, spirit, the mind from your perspective as well?
Well, I think there are physical and psychological dimension, right? So first, the physical dimension is, of course, in terms of nutrition, in terms of the all kinds of things. So you may have stunting. It depends on what kind of poverty you grew up with. If you had access to food and nutrition, you may have all kinds of biophysical impact of it, even though you may not see it, right? And so there's that one dimension. The other dimension is the attitude that it creates towards you in who you are as a person, what you're capable of doing. So even if you're in poverty and you have family dynamics around it, are loving, you have extended family, you have a whole bunch of different people, you may even be a more rounded person than a person that comes from a very wealthy home where they were neglected by their family and father. So it all depends on the circumstances of the poverty by itself. Now, I don't think anyone should be living in poverty in this day and age. I think we all, there's enough resources for all of us to have basic access to food, healthcare, and all of those things. But we do know that there are people who live in poverty in many developing countries who are quite well-rounded, who are considerate of their neighbor, who will do everything to sacrifice for their communities and so forth. And then we'll have people in the U.S. and in other parts of the world who will fight against their neighbors. So poverty by itself is not a death sentence so often. It's a matter of the nature of the poverty and what are the mechanisms that are surrounding you that will allow you to realize your and fulfill the innate skills and talents that you have. And so I think once it's not the kind of poverty that actually stunts your growth at a biological level, and it's the social dimensions that you need to worry about, then we can work our way. We can talk about it more as in terms of from a liberating perspective, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for addressing that. We have another one also. I don't know if this is your area of expertise, but David asked about the pineal gland. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Yeah.
But he asked, do most people have a calcified pineal gland? And if so, how and why it may be important to decalcify it? Are you familiar with that at all?
Okay. So I'm not going to address calcification because that's more of a medical issue, and I'm not an MD. But I would say that Western science do not understand the pineal gland. And in yoga, the pineal gland is one of the most powerful glands. That's your third eye.
Yeah.
We call it third eye. It's your wisdom eye, right? So that the optic nerve goes up here, and the pineal gland secretes, and it's linked to the pituitary gland, right? So all of your glandular system are very important, and they keep telling you, oh, you don't need your this, you don't need your that. Those are all pretty important. So the pineal gland is one of those things that helps you to, you can develop that. When instead of closing your eyes when you meditate, if you look down, you take your finger, you bring it to your nose, and you look down at your finger, right? So, and your eyes become almost 9/10 closed, right? You're stimulating the pineal gland, and it starts secreting the hormones and so forth, and it works, again, with the pituitary. And that stimulates a whole bunch of cascade of chemicals that help you to have insight and penetrative and wisdom and so forth. But the pineal gland is very important. Now, when he says calcification, it might mean that many of us don't use our pineal gland. And we're told by Western scientists that it's kind of this wasted thing hanging around, which is not true. It is a profound part of who we are, and it's important in restoring and keeping those five koshas, the five body things that I talked about, in balance. And it's very important in stimulating a lot of the things that Nathaniel is talking about, that we need to get consciousness, to get clarity around ourselves, to get still as water, so that you can then penetrate what's going on around you. So the pineal gland is quite an important gland.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for those responses, and thank you for those who are asking these great questions. I got a question, and it really kind of goes below the surface. You know, so often, especially in society, we just, you know, we look at this book of Think and Grow Rich, and we just see it from a surface perspective. We see the 13 steps. We see that title, Think and Grow Rich. But then I heard you also talking about intergenerational trauma, the consciousness, even the stress that the people of color bring into the workplace, into life, for that matter. And what it really spoke to me is that we really have to tap into our subconscious, number one, but also to a certain extent manipulate our brain. So now my question to you goes, how are you intentionally surrounding yourself with individuals who are on your same wavelength, who are also connected, who are also ensuring that they are going in the same trajectory as you? And here's why. So much of life is negativity. Media inundates us with negativity because that sells to a certain extent. I was listening to someone on the radio, on public radio yesterday, say, hey, I need to vote. And I was like, okay, that's great. But the reason that she said she needed to vote now by mail is because something bad could happen to me around the election and I could be in the hospital and I won't be able to vote. so many times we think and project negativity in our lives. So my question to you is, how are you intentionally not doing so, especially with those that you surround yourself with?
That's a very deep question. I think, first of all, you yourself every day, we have to get up and clean ourselves, right? So we have certain things that we do just automatically. We get up, we brush our teeth, we comb our hair, we put on our clothes. But not everybody get up and do something about their inner life. So you get up every morning, you get up, even before you go to the bathroom or right after you go to the bathroom. Of course, if you're a Christian faith, you pray, right? You thank the Lord, even as you open your eyes. You thank, because you look around, you feel everything, all the body parts are there.
Right.
You breathe, right? So then before you get up, you start doing some deep breathing. Because your body has been resting all night. It's not actually been resting, it's been working all night. So between, which is why sleep is essential, because you're restoring. So between 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock, your body is repairing itself, right? Almost up to 3 o'clock. Which is why you wake up, you have the things coming out of your eyes, your tongue is... Why? Because the body is repairing. That's the peak of time where the body is really repairing everything. And then after that, it gets calm. And then you start having those reflections, which is why they say the older people, it's amazing how they knew all that. They'll tell you that your dream, you know, after your, if you're dreaming between 12 and 2 o'clock, it's nonsense. And it's not necessary for you to pay attention to it. Because your body's cleaning. And when it's cleaning, it's throwing up all kinds of stuff. But when you start dreaming, that morning dream, from 4 o'clock to whenever you get up, that the mind is settling, the body is settling, things are starting to repair, you know, ideas that you've been wrestling start getting clear, you start getting answers if you're paying attention, if you're quiet, right? This is why you need to go to bed, you need to put away the phone, you need to be quiet, let the mind settle, let the body settle, and when you wake up, the first thing you do is you don't check the phone. You lay there, and you start deep breathing, deepening the breathing, helping the body flush out. Because through breathing, you flush out the toxins that have been liberating, right? It always comes out three ways. It comes out through your urine, it comes out through your breathing, and it comes out through the other way. And your ears also, right? The wax. Those are things that the body is cleaning. So the first thing usually you want to go pee, right? Because it's flushing out all the stuff that's gone into the urinary tract. And you consciously breathe to help it flush out the rest of the stuff that's possible, and we do a kind of breathing we call Kapalbati breathing, breath of fire, which is kind of a dark breath. You go, and you can also do it, most yogis will do it like, but you're using a navel. That's another part of our body that Western science has underestimated. They think it's just there. The navel is powerful. It's not the navel, the button, but 2 inches below the button is where your whole navel area is. That's a powerful. When you breathe, you pull that in towards your spine. That helps your metabolism, it helps your digestive system, and it also helps the whole breathing system, your retuning, your tuning, fine-tuning your breathing system. So most of us take care of our cars better than we take care of our physical body. We need to spend some time. And it may be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however long you have, you sit quietly. You breathe, you soften, deepen the breath, right? And I'm expecting that because with the coronavirus, the most important thing we can do for ourselves right now is to strengthen the lungs and the immune system, and that is breathing, deep, profound breathing. Inhale, lengthen, exhale as long as you can. Inhale, lengthen, exhale, lengthen, inhale. And if you breathe from the navel, you then push out toxins that are sitting around in the lungs, and then your lungs are able to deal with that. Right, which is why some people are able to get the virus, others don't get the virus. Why? Depending on what's going on with their lungs and their baseline immunity. Yeah? But it's the same thing for whether or not you're manifesting. Mm-hmm. Because that helps quiet the mind. You get clear about what your desires are, and you don't confuse your ego with the desire. Your desire must be something that's good for you and good for everybody else. If it's something that's only good for you but bad for everybody else, then it's not a desire that's coming from the universe or from God. Right? And it's mixed up, it's confused because you're all drinking and doing all kinds of things. Not that those things are bad, huh? Okay? I eat a lot, I don't drink, but I used to drink, and I do have friends that drink, and they're not bad people. But before you go to bed, you drink water, you cleanse the system, and you allow yourself to have that moment of just peace with yourself.
Wow. Before we bring Ms. Ann in, I just want to talk to the audience. You guys, this is an amazing, amazing show. This is one of those shows that you need to replay. I'm definitely going to replay this just for my own personal edification, because I'm learning more about breathing. I'm learning more about the importance of sleep. I'm learning more about the importance of masterminding with all the parts of your body. This is amazing. Ms. Ann, what do you want to say about your fellow mastermind member that you get to connect with a lot more frequently than we do? What do you have here? You're on mute. We're going to unmute you.
Ms. Ann's been hiding. She's been hiding Mariama from us. I tell you that.
For those who are on the radio that cannot hear or see my head go, no. There is no way I am going to follow Mariama talk about masterminding. All right. So I am going to publicly suggest that we must have her back next week to round out the subject of masterminding. Because when I share with you how we met, now we mastermind every Monday morning at 6 a.m., right, Mariama?
Yep, and I do it. That's for me, that's 12 a.m., 12 noon. Yeah, all right. So there's no way that I'm going to attempt to follow her and impact what has already been said. So if it's okay with all of our co-hosts and if it's okay with our guests who came on to talk about masterminding, you just heard the power of masterminding with yourself and all the things you need to do. But this is such a large conversation. I'm going to suggest, Mariama, we'll talk about this later if your calendar permits, that you join us next week.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can get into your family mastermind. We can get into our Palm Beach Life Planners mastermind group that we meet and what we do. And then I'll go into greater detail about how we met. I will start my conversation now by sharing this short story. Then we'll pick it up next week. And that is intended to be a cliffhanger for those of you who are listening. You must come back next week to get the rest of the program. So as a masterminder, back in the 80s, I had a mastermind group. It was in Miami. Excuse me. I live in West Palm Beach. And I first started my first mastermind group, and Lynn Whitfield is here, and I want to thank her. She was part of the original masterminders where we started in the 80s. And then I moved to Miami and started the International Mastermind Group with another mastermind group. But commuting back and forth for 2 hours, I prayed that I needed to have a mastermind group near home because my boyfriend, who's my husband, is the most important person in my life. And my desire is to express that through my action. So years went by, and as I will continue to talk about masterminding, Dr. Tina Dupree, who's known as the Chicken Lady, professional speaker, invited me to a speaking event that she was hosting. The person who was hosting the event, which Ms. Dr. Dupree was speaking at, was talking about this concept of masterminding. When I walked in the door at this conference, Dr. Dupree said, oh, here's Ms. McNeil. She's the expert masterminder. People in the audience got up and started coming to me during the program. This lady, you have to be careful what you pray for, and I'm going to get to Mariama because this is how we met. This lady who was over the program eventually decided to start her own mastermind group, went to my website, downloaded everything as her own, including my bio, and began to charge people $2,000 to mastermind with her. Now, this is where Mariama comes in and her sister. So somebody read it on her site, and they called me, and they said, listen, I'm on this lady's site. It sounds like everything that she's saying sounds like your story and everything you do with masterminding. And guess what? She's having a conference you may want to go. Now, this is why for all of us, regardless of what religion you're in, Mariama talked about desire. The first chapter in this book is about desire. When we truly believe that all things really work together for good, you cannot pick and choose. Can I get an amen, somebody?
Amen.
Those of you listening in the chat, say amen if you agree with this. Because what you're going to hear next is an excellent example of why and how. When you have a desire and you're open to receive whatever the universe may bring to you, you will never know how it shows up. So, of course, when I heard about this lady and I went to this event, I invited a friend of mine who I was masterminding with in another group. Her name was Laura Greer. And I said, can you come go with me? Because I know, understand this lady has taken my information and she's, you know, charging people. And I want to purchase one of her books so I could see exactly what she's doing and how she's doing it. Now, naturally, our human propensity is to do what? To be happy? No. Galen, for those of you who can't hear him on the radio, he's got his boxing gloves on. Absolutely, we're all human, and that's exactly how I felt. But being a masterminder and also doing a lot of the exercises Mariama talked about being open, I wanted to see. I was open, but not very open. I get to the conference, Laura and I, and Laura says, I'm going to walk around and meet other people while we take turns at the booth. And the lady on the stage, I'm not going to call her name, of course, privacy, she starts talking about her mastermind, this island, all these things that she's doing. And guess who gets in the line to invest in herself for $2,000? Mariama Williams and her sister Stephanie is walking around because they do everything together. Mariama's in the line. Laura goes and she meets Stephanie someplace else in the building. Only fate would have it. And this is how the universe conspires to bring to you everything your heart desires. I never told anybody this, that I wanted to start a group, but I'd written it in my goals and I'd written it on my heart. What would be the likelihood that Laura Greer connects with Stephanie? They pull Mariama out of the line. We end up meeting. What is the likelihood that we live across the street from each other, a street apart, right, Mariama? In the same block.
Yes.
I can walk to her house from my house, which is where I'm sitting in my house right now. I can walk to her house across the street from my house, a 2-minute walk. That is how we met as masterminders. And I don't remember what year that was. Gosh, 10, 15, maybe.
I don't remember.
I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time. And we have masterminded ever since. And so with that opening for this program for next week, then we will get into the power of the mastermind and imagine masterminding not just with Betty, but also the other members of our mastermind group, Dr. Betty Knighton, who's another phenomenal, right, Mariama? A phenomenal spirit, then all the other people who are in the group, and I think there's 6 or 7 of us. So Doretha Dennis is another person that's in our mastermind group, and she's supporting us on the radio here today. So I'm going to end my just comments with that. But I really want to encourage all of you, please come back next week, because there's no way we can honor what Mariama is talking about and not have a part 2. So if all of our cohorts are in agreement with that, then Mariama, and if you are, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Galen, as we begin to wrap up, because this has been a phenomenal show and excellent information, but we'll have to have a part 2. So back to you, Galen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and one of the things that we talked about earlier is that you don't know who you're meeting when you're meeting them. Mm-hmm. And Mariama, I was just so impressed with her background when we were talking. She said, yeah, I met you at the annual meeting. And I had no idea that I had access to this spirit almost a year ago. But Mariana, will you talk a little bit about the annual meeting? Because I know you've been, I've been just this past year, but you've been multiple years. What's the benefit of attending this annual meeting? You know, obviously you're going to be going to Florida and sunny Florida when there's a physical space, but there's some accountability there. What are some of the benefits that you've experienced from attending the annual meeting, and why should anyone consider being a part of that event?
Okay. So I come to that. I just want to wrap up the question you asked, not you, but the other guest wanted to ask, and I went on my usual tangent. But if you clean yourself and you clear yourself as much as you can, every day we have to do it anyway, right? Because our stuff comes. The universe will support you and it will bring you in what Deepak calls synchronicity. Right? That you will meet the right person at the right time for whatever you need, because that person also is working on themselves, right? And that's how your mastermind comes together. It's kind of an organic process that once you're doing the work on yourself, the universe and your intention is out there, the universe supports you and brings you together with those people. And you may find you figure you don't fit eventually because we grow, right? And that's part of what I think the annual meeting and the accountability process, because we mastermind on these different areas of life, right? Work, additional income, health, volunteer, and a whole, as a comprehensive, as a human being that lives in society. There are many folks, they're multifaceted, they have multidimensionality. And so when we mastermind on our weekly call and we tell each other what we're going to do this week and we hold each other accountable when we report the next week and so forth, and at the end of the year, we look at the whole picture like a company does. Now, what is your mission statement? What did you achieve in the quarter? Why didn't you achieve it? You rolled it over to the next quarter. Okay, what happened? And not from a judgmental way. It's you really taking stock of you, and we're each taking stock of each other. Nobody accuses or say anything. It's that accountability, but you're doing it in company, in collaboration, in cooperation with like-minded persons. And you assess yourself at the end of the year, and then the things that you didn't get accomplished, well, maybe you say, oh, maybe it wasn't a good goal. Maybe it was not something coming from me, but it was because somebody said, oh, you ought to do this. And then you reset your goal and so forth. And the meeting is the meeting of all these different groups and new people such as yourself at the last time when I came. And all these different groups, and they all have different dynamics, they all have different accomplishments. So you learn from each other, you hear what all the different groups are doing, and you get awed, and you get inspired. And then new people come in, and they learn the process, and you watch them grow and evolve, you know? So I said the annual meeting is a very powerful place for starting the year. And we started the first week of January, and that's a powerful place and time to start your assessment and looking forward towards the rest of your week, the rest of your year. So it's, a very dynamic process.
Well, thank you for that. And if you are now I'm talking to the audience, if you guys are in any way interested in really achieving these goals that you talk about achieving someday, the annual meeting is the place that you've got to be. I've already made the commitment. I've already bought my ticket. I've already paid to be there. I'm going to be there, and I hope that you will be there too. So now I'd like to, as we close out this conversation, I'd like to just go around to each of our co-hosts and just ask, what are one or two things that you got from this conversation? What's something that you're working on, and how can people get a hold of you? Miss Ann, let's go with you.
Yes, I want to just follow Mariama by sharing that today, coincidentally, our Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, we're hosting our mid-year meeting where we come together as a group. And, of course, today it will be done by Zoom, though. But we come together as a group twice a year, physically, actually. But we sit down and we review the first half of the year in preparation to reassess, as Mariama just discussed, to make sure that we're able to hit the goals for the end of the year, or like she said, to review, revise, reassess, and just really recalibrate those goals.
And so I already have 3 pages of notes that I took from Mariama, and I'll leave it at that and let the rest of you share some things. But I would like to challenge and encourage all of our listeners, if you're interested, we host a Think and Grow Rich Friday accountability call, and each person gets 1 minute. You can just listen in. It's every Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern time. You can just listen in, or you can call in and share your 1 minute aha on what you've read. And all of that is in support of this. And Ursula gave me some things to say when I talked about this, so let me look at them to make sure I get it right. She said, this is what we found. Did I get it right, Ursula? The point being is this. Many of you listen to us every Saturday or whenever you can. But what we're finding is that you can be held accountable too. And it's a free call. You can join us every Friday morning. You can just listen in, or you can just give your accountability from what you've read during the week, and you get 1 minute. And then one thing you want us to hold you accountable for. We've been doing this now, gosh, all the 10 years. To just bring it down to a level that you can also participate regardless of who you are. You can go to the International Masterminders website. You can go to Eventbrite, or you can go to our Facebook page and just put in Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind, and you can join. Just register, and we'll send you out that number. So thank you. Thank you, Dale.
Okay.
Oh, andmcneil.com is how you can reach me about that. Thanks.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, so Ursula Odom, what's one or two things that you got from this conversation and maybe an event that you're focused on, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, there's so many things that I got from her this morning, but the one that I'm going to take action on is being alert to my breathing and what it can do in my life. So I'm one of those slow breathers, and sometimes I'll stop, and there must be something to that too. So I'm going to go in and figure that thing out. As for Sula 2, oh, we're excited about some things that are happening as early as tomorrow. I have a new author whose book is in her hands, and actually in the hands of the people that bought in advance. And she had a stroke, and she's telling the story of having that stroke. And the reason I think that kind of story is important is because you don't want to be in that situation, but you want to have empathy for that situation. Understand how your loved ones feel, what they felt, and how you can help them. How to survive by one person's account. It's a window into a world that most of us will not experience, but we see it all around us. And those of us that do experience something like that, then you have something to hang on to, the words of someone else to help you understand what's normal, what's not, what to expect. It's just a wonderful place to be able to allow someone to share their story like that, and then I feel that will benefit so many other people. So that's happening tomorrow night. It is a virtual book discussion, and the information is in the chat. And if you don't have access to the chat right now, you can go to sulatu.com and send me a message, and I'll send you a link. That's SULATOO.com, Sulatu.com. And there you'll find out some of the other things that I do. So thank you very much, Mariama. I've enjoyed this. And to my fellow co-hosts, this has been a great show. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, Dr. Peter, what are some of I know you got a lot of gems from this conversation. And then what are some things that you're working on, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, Galen, such a great show today. First of all, my name is Dr. Peter James, the High Performance Coach. You can catch me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJAMES. You know, part of the reason that I am a part of this show, that I'm a part of this panel, is because of meeting individuals like Dr. Mariam. And why? Because I seek to always be enlightened, to talk to people, to be challenged by individuals who will challenge me, but also help me go to my next level, whatever that is. Those of you who are watching and who are listening, and you're always figuring out how to meet people, this is how you do it. You jump into, you intentionally jump into conversations, go to meetings, go listen to Think and Grow Rich accountability meetings or Think and Grow Rich accountability shows so that you can further be allowed, enlightened, and surround yourself with individuals who are like-minded but also who are on an upward trajectory. And in order for you to really tap into your subconscious, to begin that tapping into your subconscious, that's one of the first steps, surrounding yourself with individuals who are positive, who are not just negative. So I hope you really gleaned something today from what Dr. Mariana was talking about, but even some of the questions that were asked from our panel as well. Caitlin got a lot of stuff going on. I won't even go into all of it, sir, but one of the biggest things is I'm working on a gap year program with some colleagues of mine. For those of you who have high school seniors or have graduated already, and, you know, going into college is a little precarious right now. You may not know how to proceed. Well, come check us out. It's called the Hall Pass, Get a Hall Pass Gap Year Program. But you can check me out at Dr. Peter A. James if you would like to have more information. Galen, right back to you, sir.
Fantastic. And then I'd like to go to you, Dr. Mariana. This has been an incredible conversation. You know, very often when I'm part of programs like this, I get as much out of the conversation as I deliver. What are some key things that you'd like to share with the audience? And how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to hear more and they don't happen to live right across the street from you?
So great. Thank you. It's been really a good morning. I love the questions. They caused me to try to remember stuff and, you know, I got my brain going. So that's really nice. I love that. I missed that for a while since graduating 6 weeks ago. I can kind of relax, you know. Right now, the best way to reach me is my LinkedIn. Under my name, Mariama, M-A-R-I-A-M-A, Williams. I'm redoing my website because of my new certification. I'm now certified as a yoga therapist by the International Association of Yoga Therapists, and then my MS degree has just arrived, so now I can put all that stuff out on my website, so I'm changing around a bit. In terms of what I'd like to leave people with, we haven't gotten into the nitty-gritty of wealth consciousness or generating wealth, which thank you, Anne, for suggesting next week, and I can make myself available. The thing that I learned from this, or relearned, was this notion of synchronicity when Anne started speaking about how when you're ready, the time will come, the right moment will approach. Because I think for the last 2 weeks or so, I've been brainstorming with myself, and, you know, since you stopped doing clinic, I was having a lot of clients come in. I was doing yoga therapy, doing all the various things, talking to people, sharing things. You haven't really been supporting or giving, sharing information to anyone. And then I got the email saying, would you like to be on this show? And I'm like, okay, well, here you are. The universe has spoken, so thank you. That's really good. But I think for me, what I like to leave people with is make a list. I mean, I just like Nathaniel Hill said, Napoleon Hill said, make a list of your desires. Look at it every day. Wealth is a mindset. Wealth consciousness is a mindset. And so you need to constantly be in it. It's not always about the money. It's also about walking in abundance, living with grace, and having your needs fulfilled when you need that without really having to go to a lot of drama about it. And you have to prime yourself for that. And so you have your list. You get into silence every day. It's a minute. We even now talk about snap meditation. When I first did meditation many years ago, we were told you had to meditate for 20, 30 minutes. Well, a lot of research is showing you can meditate for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. There's one guy who's the head of a big Fortune 500 corporation. He says every time he goes through a doorway, he stops, closes his eyes, and then move on. And so he doesn't have 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But you have to find what works for you. So you can do snap meditation, you stop for a minute, think about it's busy. Nobody needs to know what you're doing to close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes. It's not like your nose breaks. You're actually stimulating your pineal gland. Nobody has, I think you're listening intensely, and you are, because you're multitasking anyway. And you stop. So you have to find what works for you in your busy schedule and make that a habit, so it becomes a habit of settling the mind, settling the body, doing that breathing. You can breathe anywhere. Nobody needs to know. You don't always have to do the little cap and broccoli. You're deep in your breathing. I breathe while I'm talking with you. So wrap my shoulders and I'm breathing. Right? Open up the lungs, open up the heart. Right? And those things free you up because there's a lot of psychic and physical knots all over the body, the mind, the brain, arguments we've had, you know, all kinds of stuff. And not to mention the trauma, you know, where we go into places and you're the only white, black person, your body's tense, it's scanning the room. You breathe. You say, it's okay, body. I know you're trying to protect me. It's okay. I got this. You know? So all these different things that we just need to do. Some simple things and some complex, but simple.
Well, fantastic. Well, I am just so excited that I was able to be part of the conversation to get exposure to Dr. Mariana. This has been an incredible show from my perspective. I'm so glad that we're going to have a part two. From my perspective, my name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist, certified executive coach, and owner of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. I'm just really, really excited about several of the events that I've got coming up. One, see if we can just share this. One event that I want to invite everyone to is this event that is going to be August 31st. It's the Emotional Intelligence and Health Summit with EI Global. It is a fantastic opportunity for you guys to hear from 12 leaders, 12 experts in our field, and I think you pay like $60 or something like that, but you hear from 12 of us talking about the importance of leveraging emotional intelligence as it pertains to health. So I would encourage you all to be a part of that if you can. Would love to see you there. But this has been an incredible show, and as I said earlier, I would encourage you to replay this. Really take notes. I know that I'm going to replay this. I'm going to take notes because there are things that will impact what I do on a daily and hourly, a minute-by-minute basis, and I trust the same is true for you. This is a book, Think and Grow Rich, that really does encapsulate all the things that you need to do in order to be successful in life. Because title people tend to think that it has to do with just money, that it just has to do with economic wealth. But as you heard today from our guests, this has to do with psychic wealth. This has to do with physical wealth. This has to do with relational wealth. Anything that you desire, this book describes the process that you go through in order to actually manifest that. I'm just excited to be a part of this conversation every week and hope that you will come back and join us next week as well when we think and grow rich. Ms. Ann, you got some parting comments for us?
Synchronicity, what would be the likelihood when you put that flyer up is exactly what Mariana came on and talked about today. She talked about emotional intelligence and health. So this entire journey, like she talked about, is so powerful, but oftentimes we're moving so fast we don't take the time to see the connecting of the dots. As her mastermind buddy, before we end, I'm going to challenge you, Mariana. You have so many brand new fans now from being on this program that I'm going to challenge you when we have our mastermind meeting later today to create a membership launch by next Friday, and all of us are going to help you with this, so that many of your fans and followers can have a place to come as you teach the breathing technique as a part of that group. And I think many of the people who are here listening, and as a matter of fact, if this is something, if you're listening online, on any of the social media, or inside of the Zoom, if you agree with this statement that I'm making, and this challenge I'm making to my mastermind buddy, Ms. Mariana, Dr. Mariana Williams, can you just say yes in the chat, either on Facebook or in Zoom? So when I meet with her later today with our group, we can have all of this support her in knowing that this is her calling. We've had lots of people on the show, and I don't think that anybody has done the level of deep dive into the subject the way she did it today, and connecting, masterminding with yourself, and clearing so that the universe can draw to you, going back to Peter's question, your mastermind accountability people. But, Mariam, if you're willing to take the challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll work out all the details. So when we come back next week, everybody, Mariam will be prepared to unveil to you her new Facebook group that will become an online membership for music exercises. All right, Galen, I go with you. Thank you.
No, well, that's it. I mean, I can't think of a better way to end the show. This has been an amazing conversation, and I would encourage everyone to come back each week as we talk about some element of this amazing book by Napoleon Hill. And if you don't have this book as part of your library, whether it's the physical book, whether it's the audio book, whether it's the digital book, you need to have this book as part of your DNA, because this will literally help you think and grow rich. My name is Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, and until next time, take care.
Thank you. Bye, Galen, and Peter, and Ursula, and Anne, and Laverne. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Miss Aretha, thank you.
Oh, Miss Aretha, I'll see you later. Oh, no, I won't see you later, but, yeah, take care, Aretha.
Thank you.
The recording has stopped.